So, we're here again for the fourth installment of the Almighty Ballin' Almighty Podcast. For the Almighty Baller website, you can find that at www.almightyballer.com. It's a great website. I can say with some confidence that it's a better website than you would make. You can also find me on Facebook as the Prof of Ball. I made a Facebook account that's a person, even though Facebook doesn't want you to do that because I have a little bit of a rebel flair. And you can find me on Twitter at Almighty Prophet. So, introducing once again my longtime podcast, very good friend, but not trusted friend, Stu Pete.
Yep.
Stu, how's it going?
Young Saul of Tarsus, I'd but give throat to your revelation.
I couldn't understand that over the phone, but I'm going to trust that it was great. And returning again.
4 out of 10.
Returning again for the second time, we have Lux. And Lux.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah, hey. So,
let's talk about basketball.
Yeah, I mean, we were going to return to the Jazz, but as you might have noticed if you listened to our last podcast, we, meaning me and Lux, got into a little bit of a tiff about what team is better, the Washington Wizards or the Washington Heat for this coming season.
It's the Miami Heat.
wait, did I say Washington Heat?
You absolutely said Washington
Heat. Yes, you did. Yeah, we all heard it.
Well, I mean, you never know. They could move.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
They could.
There's that option now in 2K.
Yeah, Seattle needs a team, man.
Yeah, there's a prediction right now. That's a prophecy that the Heat are going to move to Washington. You heard it here first. I'm taking the point of view that the Miami Heat are going to be the better team, and Lux is taking the opposite position, and we made a friendly bet, right? So, if I win, he is going to have to get me a journeyman jersey of my favorite Heat player on this current team, which is Hassan Whiteside. I can really identify with his desire to tackle Kelly Olynyk, right? He tackled Kelly, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, he tackled someone, and I mean, we all want to get our frustration out there.
Tackle anyone from Boston.
Yeah. I mean, it's just those voices and everything.
He's a real expressive player.
Whether or not that's expressing something that you want him to express is, it is. I want rage. And Lux, what are you going to get?
I'm still deciding. Torn, because I think for me to win this bet, either Otto Porter or Bradley Beal has to have a pretty good season. So I kind of almost want an Otto Porter jersey. Because I feel like if I...
Let's say you win, it would sort of be a victory lap to get Bradley Beal, because it's implied he would really be a star, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like if I'm right, there's a reason to have an Otto Porter jersey. Whereas, like, right now, there's not a great reason to have an Otto Porter jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
I don't think there's ever going to be.
Otto Porter might be a better symbol of sort of this victory.
We'll see. The point is I'm going to get him a Washington Wizards player of his choice. Of course, this will only happen in an alternate universe where he's right. And I'm really looking forward to the Hassan Whiteside jersey that I'm going to have. And the first thing I'm going to do once I get it is tackle the nearest person as a celebration. Spencer, sorry you're not in this bet, but hey,
no.
You're on a different bet, so, you know, you can feel good about that.
I take the Swiss approach to this conflict.
Yeah, so anyways.
I'm a mediator.
Let's talk about this Wizards team. I feel like we should start with the pros, because there are pros. It's a good team. They're a good team. They've done well these last couple of years, but, you know, since I'm going to be arguing the opposite position, Lux, you should go ahead and start.
Okay, sure. There's a couple things about the Wizards that are obviously pretty great. Their backcourt is fantastic. John Wall is the second or third best point guard in the NBA, depending on where you stand on Russell Westbrook.
Third.
Yeah, probably third.
Russell Westbrook.
Definitely third.
Russell flippin' Westbrook. I mean, really, though.
Russell Westbrook's a goddamn American hero. He's everything this country wants to be.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal is primed for a big jump. He was looking real good in the playoffs last year. He has a whole bunch of very nice skills that he's yet to put together for a full season, but I have a good feeling that it's worth bearing in mind that those two players, by the way, are 24 for Wall and 20 for Beal.
True.
So those dudes are very young,
yeah,
and still very much improving, which is pretty scary for the rest of the league. Then they've got a solid front court set up, at least for a starting lineup, with Nene and Gortat. That's where we start to run into some of their problems, because I think the central problem that we're going to come back to over and over again is this question of front court depth.
Yeah, actually, I think there's a few problems.
Behind
an
egg or top.
Hey, so let's do this maybe like an intelligence square type thing, right? Where are you leaning towards right now, Spencer? Who do you think's right as of right now, and to what degree do you think that?
I think that the reasonable bet is on Washington, but I am stuck on a couple things about them, mostly because I couldn't really watch a lot of them because I didn't want to games last year. So
only 5 of their games were nationally televised.
Yeah, I'll blame that on that. So that being said, there are issues, though, that kind of stick out to me that sort of seem like they kind of complicate the issue on Washington's end. Something that's, and again, somebody, I defer to anybody who can speak with more confidence about this, but I think that Wall seems to be kind of in a weird spot with his shot selection, and I was looking at the stats that I've been able to...
Bradley Beal is even more profoundly in a weird spot with his shot selection.
Yeah,
I mean, John Wall, too.
They both take dumb shots.
Yeah, Wall seems to be... Beal had an issue with those long twos, but he seems to be working on getting it down. Let's see if I have it in front of me. By almost an entire 10% fewer of those. But Wall seems to be going the other direction, as far as I can tell. That he's actually shooting more of those sorts of 16-footer to, you know, right, well, hey, those long twos. And
let me jump in here on the Bradley Beal thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
The interesting thing about the Bradley Beal mid-range jump shot phenomena is that he's asked about it, and he's like, yeah, you know what? I just like taking mid-range jump shots. He sort of grew up in the Kobe era and the Michael Jordan era. And also, let's be real for a second. It's sort of like cigarettes, right? Mid-range jump shots look really cool. They're just not good.
That's true. That's true.
He did recently have an interview where he was, yeah, I'm trying to cut that shit out.
Yeah, I saw that, and it seems like he actually is.
Yeah.
But what's troubling to me is that Wall does not seem to be... And I believe the year before last, Wall shot more of those than anybody else in the league, except next guy was like DeMar DeRozan. And that's sort of not good, that he seems to have not really shook his infatuation with that shot. And I feel like it's not really within the way that he should be playing point guard, given his sort of physical skill set. You think that's fair?
Yeah. It would mean so much for the Wizards to space the floor, though. Because, I mean, I feel like John Wall is running into this similar problem that Kemba Walker runs into. Kemba's field goal percentage looks like crap. I mean, John Wall's is okay, but John Wall's would look better. But Kemba, the reason for that is that they get to the last 6 seconds of the shot clock, and they haven't done anything because they're the Hornets and they're crap. So they just give it to Kemba and say, please, Kemba, figure something out. And John Wall's sort of in the same boat, where the Wizards' offense can stagnate. That can be a thing.
Although I do
and
think
John Wall will...
I do think there are certain roster considerations that can sort of check some of the problems with that jump shot.
Like?
Just because we were talking about this on the phone a couple of days ago. He gets into that jump shot situation when the lane gets clogged up.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, and I think that a big part of what's going to be the make-or-break question is if they're going to keep using some of those smaller lineups in order to open up that space so he doesn't have to be taking that jump shot all the time. It's hard to argue that when he gets to the lane, there are not many better sort of drive-and-kick or even drive-and-pocket-pass players in the NBA, if there's anyone who's as good at that shit as he
James
is.
James Harden, that's it.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, maybe James Harden, but I don't know if he's as good in the post. But either way, like, yeah, he's the only comparable player in that respect. And so that's sort of why I think that a lot of these questions about whether or not this team's going to work are going to come down to these questions of front court depth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that that's going to mitigate a lot of the ramifications of other stuff. Also, there's always the perpetual question the Wizards have every year, which is, are we totally sure any of these backup point guards are actually backup point guards?
Ramon Sessions.
Ramon Sessions, Ish Smith, and Garrett Temple is not a confidence-inspiring trick.
They're all bad at basketball.
Yeah. Although
I love the Ramon Sessions sort of mold, because it's this scrappy, oh, hey, man, he's gonna be out there, and he's not the best shooter, but, hey, he'll scrap and get it really good. But the problem is, he'll get into the paint and miss the layup that he gets by looking really hard, and then he'll get back on defense, and he's a terrible defensive point guard. So it's like he's got the worst of both worlds as far as actually being that point guard they want him to be.
He's a real problem. Although there is, on the plus side of all this, I didn't know this when we were talking a couple days ago, but they also signed DeJuan Blair.
Ew.
Over the offseason.
Ew.
I wouldn't say ew, man. DeJuan Blair is not a terrible ball player.
Dude. Aw, man. Okay, is that what they need? Is that what they need? Is DeJuan Blair. That's what they need.
I don't think DeJuan Blair is the best version of what they need, but I think he's a definite improvement on the nothing that we thought they had. We talked a couple days ago.
Yeah, DeJuan Blair, he's the 6'7" power forward, right?
Yeah, but that's not Tanib, actually.
That's not what?
That's not the most terrible for them. Really?
Although, it's awful. He can't space at all.
Yeah.
If he plays the five, there's a point at which his hustle can't stop someone who's 7 foot two. He is... Yeah, he's...
I guess this gets back to what we were talking about with Amari, right? And the Heat. He doesn't need to be super sweet for long stretches.
Oh, man.
He just needs to be pretty good for short ones.
Chris Humphries is such a good bench big that would be in similar circumstances. Drop DeJuan Blair because he's been crap the last few seasons. And even if he's playing at his best, he's a crap fit. Talk about Chris Humphries because that's a positive for the team.
They have Chris Humphries. They have Drew Gooden. Remember last year when Drew Gooden was hitting shots? That was weird.
Yeah, no, what was weird is that he wasn't hitting shots, but people would cover him as if he was going to hit them.
Now, he had some good stretches, though. That's what was very strange. He became a threat for a little bit, but then it was, not super sustainable.
I like what Drew Gooden did.
Yeah, it was very strange. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot more big dudes to eat minutes on this roster than I thought. Basically, that's the only reason I'm excited about the DeJuan Blair thing, is that there's a fair amount of bodies to fill up that space. And whether or not it's going to be the best, I think that's a lot.
Fill up that space.
It just gives them... I mean, because there's obvious lineups within this set of players that clearly are going to do some serious damage. And it's a question of what's going to happen when the other lineups are on the floor.
Man. Jeez Louise. Okay, Spencer, you should have something to say at this point.
Well, yeah, there were a couple of things I was thinking about. Is that I'm not catching the DeJuan Blair wave. I'm not. I remain unswayed. However, the question of how their front court is going to shake out is, of course, you know, a particularly vexing one, given that they do have a good number of players' names on the roster that look like they just got off the bus from Nacogdoches, and so that sort of... And who's the guy they got who's going to be out? So what is their front court rotation, to a layman, what is the front court rotation going to look like? I mean, and how do you fit Nene the God in here?
Yeah, so here's my two big problems with the Wizards front court. The first one is Nene... Do you guys remember Nene in the playoffs this year? It was tragic. It was like straight out of Shakespeare. It was just basically death of a salesman. And the other problem with this front court...
Mixing your references there.
Wait, what?
Hopelessly crossing your allusions there, man.
Hey, I was hoping that I would say death of a salesman and then something... Oh, here's it. Death of a Brazilian. That would have been great.
Eh.
That would have been... I don't know.
Yeah, I mean...
I love that shit. I love those types of jokes. I mean, I'm gonna name the Heat podcast Unpacking Heat.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's great.
It's a mixed metaphor we got. I don't know if it would be
right.
Great.
We just diverged our sensibilities on this end. But anyway, so Nene, who is sort of the...
Okay, well, here we can get back to the Nene thing, but the second issue that I have is all of these small forwards who they were like, yeah, they can slide to the four, have glaring issues. But anyways... On with the Nene picking apart.
Yeah, let's talk about Nene. What's going on?
Lux, do you have a response to the fact that Nene just looked like crap in the playoffs? He looked like the wheels were off and he's done.
His numbers in the playoffs are pretty rough to look at. But his season numbers, not super terrible. So I'm wondering exactly how much we can really stake on that. Although it is concerning, you know?
Yeah, they weren't terrible. But considering that he has missed... Let's see, he played 61 games 3 years ago. While he's been on the Washington Wizards, he's missed, I guess, like 50 games-ish, it looks like. I mean, let's see. Let's see if they're not terrible, because they sort of are not very good.
No, his postseason numbers are butt. His regular season numbers weren't super bad.
But wouldn't you want the opposite?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I'm saying, I do think one thing that is very true about this team is that they're going to have to figure out ways to move away from the traditional front court.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen early in the season. I think that's going to be part of the process, is going to be figuring out what the rotation is that does that. I don't necessarily think... I think there's a universe that exists where between the juniors, Oubre and Porter, as well as Dudley, Anderson... and that whole mess can put up some numbers on offense more effectively than they're going to get with both Nene and Huertat on the floor. And if that's true, then that's going to save them from a whole lot of problems.
You say Anderson. Did you hear that? I think it was actually today that Anderson had an ankle injury and he's going to be out for the first month or something of play.
I was reading that he was going to miss training camp. I didn't see anything about a full...
Yeah, I didn't see exactly. So let's run with he's going to miss training camp. How... Alan Anderson has never really played the four before, right? So he's going to come out fresh without having really practiced defending fours.
I actually think he has played the four. I think he played some minutes of the four in New Jersey.
I don't think that's a thing.
I believe it was last season.
I am going to try to find that out, but if I don't find it, then...
Alan Anderson, percentage of minutes at power forward.
Yeah.
We're still talking about Alan Anderson. Basketball Reference, I know that by their statistic, he played about a quarter of his minutes at power forward his first year, and about a fifth of them in Brooklyn in 2013 or 2014, and something close to that in Toronto the year before.
Yeah.
Although I think that they derive those numbers by just breaking up lineups by height. So it's really rough, but it looks like it has happened before.
Yeah.
But I think that basically speaks to...
positionless basketball, man.
Yeah.
So I don't have a lot of faith in Alan Anderson being able to fulfill that role. And in the best case scenario, he's all right. And that's just not going to cut it for a team that is going to be 50 plus wins. And then next up, Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley has not been good since his back injury.
Let's check that. A back injury...
He got waived from the Clippers, right? And right. Then he had this back injury, then he got waived by the Clippers, right? And then he went to the Bucks, and the Bucks just gave him away this offseason.
Yeah, but he put up some good numbers with the Bucks last year, though.
He did, yeah. I just think that...
24 minutes, 39% from three. Three rebounds.
He did. He was great. But I just feel like both of these teams know something, and they're acting on that. I mean, we don't know. Right? I mean, we'll see, but he's just, you can't expect him to bang with a back injury like that, and he's getting older, you know?
Right, I don't think, but like, if you look
at
the...
Do they need him to bang? If the Wizards are really trying to go all in on this very small lineup, I mean, with, you know, having Porter at the four and stuff, isn't Dudley, you know, he doesn't fall apart, provided that he's reasonably close to what he can actually do, isn't he the kind of piece that fits into the sort of that strange, really kind of smaller lineup?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, if Jared Dudley plays like he did, say, 3 years ago, then he is a good option. He's not a great option, but he's a good option for playing a small
forward. Numbers weren't radically better 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Wait.
Did you watch him during that stretch on the Clippers before he got waived? I mean, it was just not good.
Right, totally. But several years before that, and then the year after that, he's been substantially better.
I don't know. I said that there were questions. If anyone's going to be good at that position, it's Jared Dudley. I just think that they have a similar thing going on with the Miami Heat, where there's a bunch of questions as far as health and stuff like that, except they don't have the ceiling that the Miami Heat have. Jared Dudley is good playing the stretch four, but he's not great.
But I think their floor is kind of higher than the Heat's from last year.
Yeah, for sure. I think that.
I think if things go wrong for the Heat, things can go really, really wrong for the Heat. I think that barring a serious injury to John Wall, the Wizards should be pretty okay.
But what if Bradley Beal goes down? Who's going to play the two?
Yeah, that'll be a problem, but I think that they'll be...
Beal's fragile too, isn't he?
Yeah, Beal is historically very fragile.
He has stress fractures in his legs. He's not going to be an effective player by the time he's 31. It's really sad. An injury like that, it gets worse over time, and it gets worse decently fast. I'm not necessarily sure that he's going to aggravate it this season to the extent that he's done. He'll miss games. He just will, right? But if he plays the minutes that he's been playing, then by the time he's 30, he's done.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. People have toughed it out through worse chronic conditions, but that's definitely a worrisome sign for sure.
Yeah, that sucks. You know what it feels like? It feels like Eric Gordon. It really does. The whole situation with Bradley Beal. I think it's always dangerous when people are touting a player like Beal as the next big thing. But he has this injury thing. He hasn't showed the numbers yet. He hasn't taken on this role that people are assuming that he's going to get. And I mean, frankly...
But he's also so much younger. Like, he's 20. Like, he's only 20. He came into the league super young.
Eric Gordon, when he was starting to get this talk, was pretty young. Yeah, Bradley Beal's younger. But especially with stress fractures, he's basically as old as Eric Gordon.
I don't think that that's really true. I would like to see some qualified medical analysis to that extent. I don't think that's really a fair assertion.
I'm a doctor.
I don't think that's true.
It is.
I'll need to see your papers. Until then, I don't accept this assertion. He's very young, and he doesn't quite have the same exact sort of pressure on him Gordon did, because John Wall's there, which is helpful. But it's obvious that there are parallels, and they're obviously nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Bradley Beal is actually really dangerous. His ADP in fantasy basketball is 75. That's not nearly what it should be if he projects to the type of player that people are expecting that he will.
Yeah, that's pretty low. I mean, you know, in fantasy, there's...
Am I the only one who's not getting this to the same extent that everybody else is? As far as, I kind of agree with what Chris says, that his floor is not like Booby Gibson, but kind of closer to that than I think people, I don't know. I haven't seen him play that much, but doesn't seem like he has very much ability to create his own shot or to finish at the rim. And he's a really phenomenal three-point shooter, but there's a lot of phenomenal three-point shooters.
Yeah. I don't understand why people are hailing Bradley Beal as the next big thing.
I'm actually curious, because I'm almost certainly wrong. But...
Yeah, I don't quite understand it. I think that it's wishful thinking. I think everyone really wants him to be the next Kobe Bryant or the next really good two, because it's been a while. The only recent really superstar two...
A, he's older than I thought, because I last checked his age a little while ago. He's 22, John Wall is 25. But they're still super young. But point being, to what y'all were just saying about why people think he's good, he definitely has shown the tools to be a very effective player. He definitely doesn't have them all going on any given night. There are games where he's definitely like taken over and handled the ball and generated his own offense in both that Raptors series and in the series against the Pacers that they lost 2 years ago, and the series against the Bulls that they won.
I half agree with that.
He's shown the capacity to do it. The issue is that he has not shown the capacity to do it sustainably over a full season.
Yeah. I think perhaps the bigger issue is that, yeah, he's learned how to create offense off the dribble. You know, he's really improved his game as far as that. But his finishing stats near the rim are so-so. But more importantly, his assist numbers are just not as good as they should be for a player in that role.
Yeah, he needs to be dishing better, although I will say that's partly something that hopefully they'll be able to improve on, because this is sort of the big stat with the Wizards from last year, right, was they were amongst the top in three-point percentage, but were at the very bottom in three-pointers attempted.
Yeah.
And so sort of the hope is that by opening it up a little bit and getting more of those flying, they'll be able to get some more assists coming for Bradley Beal, because he'll have a couple easier reads with spacing a little bit less packed. But again, you know, that depends a lot on that front court showing up a little bit and some people hitting threes. Although one thing that does give me a little bit of hope is I've been just like reading kind of random stuff, and the sort of folks people are sort of speculating as possibly playing the four this year on various teams are pretty crazy. Talk about Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer playing the four in Houston.
Dude, that's fine. They can both play the four.
Well, if they can both play the four, then I don't see...
Trevor Ariza's 6'8" and he's a tank and he's a good defensive player. Corey Brewer's 6'9" and the same things can be said about him.
Are they really that big? I feel like they're both
small. Yes.
I was gonna say, is Corey Brewer's 6'9"?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy he is. That's true.
No, Trevor Ariza's 6'8". The Houston Rockets know this stuff. Oh, god damn it. The Houston Rockets are so good.
They know how tall their players are? I assume they have a spreadsheet somewhere.
What I'm saying is that when they picked up these players, they were watching the trend of small ball happen and being like, yeah, these players are going to be adequate wings, but they're also going to be shiftable to the four, and now that's what we're going to start seeing. And it's spooky.
Yeah, maybe. But I think that if those guys can play at the four and play it well, I think that a lot of the dudes the Wizards have can play it adequately, at least for strength.
I want to hear some of these other people predicted to play the four. That's interesting.
All right, so Oubre and Porter.
Oubre, no. He's a rookie. He's going to be on their D-League team. But Porter, okay, there's an argument for Porter.
Yeah, Porter's 6'8". He's a big dude, long arms.
Yeah.
He could definitely...
He rebounded really well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
8 rebounds a game in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then you got Chris Humphreys, obviously, taking up some minutes down there. You got Dudley.
I don't trust Dudley.
You got Allen Anderson.
Also don't trust Allen Anderson. He's a good three. He's good for
We just had those stats. He's played the four for a fairly large amount of his time on the floor.
Yeah, but that's in a particular system. Also on the Nets, I mean, he's playing with Thaddeus Young and Brook Lopez.
Well, I don't think he plays the four in that lineup.
He's going to be expected to. He's going to be expected to jump into this rolling. The Wizards are going to have already started up playing someone else at the four, and when he fails to produce just simply because of that, I think he's going to be relegated.
I checked his injury thing, and it's just that he might miss the beginning of training camp.
Yeah, it's probably not that big of a deal. But, I mean, the nature of hurt ankles is that there's going to be lingering problems. But I think we agreed on the other podcast that Allen Anderson is, you know, depending on Jared Dudley, the second best option or first best option. But hey, so there's this other elephant in the room, right? We were talking about front court depth, right? And Martin Cortat, right? He can play the center. Who else can play the center effectively?
On that roster, Nene, sort of.
No, Nene.
But Nene complains about it all the time.
Yeah.
And apparently...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to like it. He's going to get banged the
fuck. But I feel like when he gets angry, he starts to suck even more.
Yeah, he's really pouty.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think you can play Nene at the five, especially the amount of minutes.
Yeah, you're probably right. You've got Gortat. I don't think you can't really play Blair there much. They don't have a ton of great center options. I mean,
Nene's dead weight.
Yeah, I mean, unless they go super small.
They're like the smallest team. They don't have, I mean, yeah, basically.
Yeah, losing Kevin Serafin. I like Kevin Serafin. It's too bad that happened.
That kid's a bully. I liked him.
Yeah, I think Kevin
Serafin. But hey, Chris Humphreys can, except for defense, which is going to be not good that he can't fill the role of center defensively. He can do that on offense, though, be sort of a face-up center, and he'll get the rebounds for it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this Jahlil Roberts dude.
Jahlil Roberts?
Yeah, I mean, he's just like a...
This coach is Randy Whitman, remember? He's not going to play people like that. He's not going to play young, unidentified players. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, Randy Whitman's one of my biggest concerns about this team. I'm still...
Yeah.
It's hard after all the years of everyone being like, yo, let this team run. Then he finally did it 9 games. And now we're supposed to believe it's going to be how it is forever.
Yeah, they're going to be implementing a brand new offense this season that they're not used to. I think the funniest thing about it is that basically they have him on a leash. They didn't get him another center. So they're like, you know, okay, Randy, you have to do this. We're not going to give you enough big men to not do it. You know?
I'm almost okay with that because he's been such a fucking stodge this whole time.
I'm totally okay with it. I just think it's hilarious. It's like they had to not get another big man because Randy Whitman would just be like, okay, let's play 2 big men. It's going to be great, guys. You know, team on 3.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll be able to get Nene to play as a lone big man. Probably not. He'd freak out.
If Nene is being not good enough to play the 4, right? Yeah, I think Nene is going to start at 4 if he's good. And if he is bad, I think he's going to be dead weight. If he's bad, it's because he's broken down and he cannot play the center. Last year, defensively, he was just horrific. And he'd be even worse.
No, that's probably true. If he's playing very poorly, then he's going to be a real problem as far as just taking up a lot of space.
Yeah, I think that there's an understanding in the franchise that Nene is probably done. Is he on an expiring contract?
I think this is the last year of his deal. I can double check that for you real quick.
He's signed through 15-16, I think.
So yeah, this is his last year.
I think it is because it's part of the Kevin Durant bid.
All right, so he signed through the end of the year, I mean.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, no, that's really good.
Speaking of just... Go ahead.
It's funny because they paid so much for him in money, but the fact that they traded him for JaVale McGee, great trade. Good job, Wizard. You definitely did what you were supposed to do in that situation.
I was going to say, they're paying... You know how much money they're paying Martell...
What's up?
Martell Webster is being paid $5.5 million this year and then more next year.
Definitely nothing stupider than the Wizards front office, except for the Sacramento front office. Hold on, I'll be right back. I gotta grab a charger for my laptop real fast.
Okay, hey, go grab a charger. But hey, Spencer, how did they give Martell Webster that contract, the year before this last season started?
Yeah, he signed in 2013 because he had that kind of blip.
That's the biggest disaster in the world.
Right. He had a blip. He's somebody... Yeah, 2013. July 2013, I think, is when he signed the contract. And so it would have been right after he
had the season after signing that contract is when he was bad?
Yeah, he immediately just went in the toilet. But still...
Yeah, there's all this...
Like, he still is being paid... They're still paying him that much money.
Yeah.
And he's on the team. And that means, what are they going to do with him? I mean...
Martell Webster is a fucking problem.
It's too bad. Martell Webster, I thought that was going to be their solution for the 2. When players have career best stats on contract years and then get bank, and then they have terrible years after that, I just lose so much respect for them, just as humans and players.
He was hurt, to be fair, but yeah.
I think I knew that.
Are they going to have to give him minutes at the 4 in this kind of parade of strange and out of position people? I mean, they're paying him $5.5 million, and
I mean, they'll probably throw him some. They got to give him some time down there.
He's
right?
as big as.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but see, isn't that disheartening to anybody else?